The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is produced in part by Podfly.net. Podfly, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks, and later on Columbia Calling, me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, we're going to be talking tourism, the tourism industry in Colombia. We're getting an expert, a Colombian expert in the field by the name of Laura Ganspeer, and she'll be talking to us about the realities of tourism here in Colombia and how the government is adapting and how the economy is adapting to tourism. As you could well imagine, Colombia has been divorced from the idea of international tourism for going on 30 years. So in the last 10 years, we've seen a real change in the way that tourism has been conducted and how it is being viewed here in Colombia. So if you're interested in economics, if you're interested in Colombia, and if you're interested in travel in Colombia, this is a great show for you this week here on Colombia Calling with me, your host, Richard McCall.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Richard McCall here on Columbia Calling. I'm radioing in from Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this week's topic is going to be tourism in Colombia. It might sound a little bit dull, but we're talking about the economics and we're talking about the changes that have taken place in Colombia to be able to, conduct tourism and to be able to see it as a viable economic activity here in Colombia, changing the face of Colombia, to the outside world. Many of you out there listening will be thinking of coming to Colombia, have come to Colombia, or want to come to Colombia. And this is important. Tourism is the way that we change this. And of course, so with Laura Ganspeer, who was at one point the tourism expert at the government sort of promotion, the Colombia Promotion Agency, which is called Pro Export, Laura Ganspeer will be talking to us later on in the show about the situation in Colombia and what's going on and how tourism is being viewed. Now, we need to talk a little bit about that because, it's perfectly timed. We've just come out of the ANATO, this A-N-A-T-O tourism fair here in Colombia, which they hold every year at this time, February, March times, miserable weather times. So they bring in international agents from all over the world to come in for a big business meeting, to meet with potential providers. So people like me are exporters, and we're there meeting up and pitching our hotels or our travel agencies to the buyers. big companies in the US. I even have meetings this year with people from Bulgaria, from Hungary. It's all good. It's all positive. The fact that, I mean, people are honest. You sit down and you speak to these agents and they're like, you know, Colombia is a hard sell. And I take this well. And I say, well, you know, here as an Englishman, I'm still considered a hooligan. Despite having never been a hooligan in my life, it's just something that's you know, attached as a stereotype. So as Colombia has very negative stereotypes, we're working to change those. And so there's this huge sort of 500 table business meeting, which, you know, looks a little bit like speed dating. You get 20 minutes to pitch your sale to an agency, and of course they just, you know, write down some things, take your promotional paperwork and cards, and maybe they're interested, maybe they're not, but it's all about bringing and pulling Colombia forward. And so tourism is growing to be a major economic activity here, and with that in mind, you know, so the Corferias massive conference center here in Bogota is given over completely. Several pavilions are given over to tourism, and then downstairs where there are all the different Colombian departments promote their sort of embarrassment of riches, or, you know, what to see, ecotourism, coffee haciendas, diving on the Pacific coast. Everyone has something to pitch and to sell, and for the first time we had people manning the Mompox desk here in these sort of national heritage towns in Colombia, and even our mayor came and attended. So that's a very big shout out and a thank you to the mayor of Mompox for not turning his back on this incredibly important industry. What else can I say about this? I mean, it's a huge event, and business is done. But a couple of days before the actual event started, Mexico, so the Mexican Tourism Board, came down and did a launch of the new sort of brand, the new country image for Mexico. And of course, all of us are aware of what's going on in Mexico. And the news coming out of Mexico is sort of akin to the news that used to come out of Colombia in the 1980s, and grim images of journalists or dissidents or rival gangs being slaughtered, being plastered all over the press there. But, you know, we had the head of the tourism board for Mexico down, and there was a huge event in the Museo Nacional, the National Museum in Bogota, a wonderful setting, where they launched the new sort of Vivir, living to tell it, or living something like that is the new Mexico slogan. And of course, I imagine that Colombia will be looking at Mexico for advice about this type of promotion of a country with so many problems and a bloody present but with such a huge potential for tourism. Now, the governor for Quintana Roo, the department of Quintana Roo, that state in which Cancun is located, gave us the figures here of how many tourists, despite the violence striking all of these areas, they had 17 million visitors in Quintana Roo last year in 2013. I mean, we're pushing to try and get 4 million visitors in the whole of Colombia. So something, you know, needs to be done here in Colombia. And of course, we've got a dreadful history, justifiably negative, but we're changing things. That 4 million people might well make it to Colombia in 2014 is a massive step forward. And in recent years, we've been getting 2 million, 2.5 million, almost 3 million. So 4 million is a big step up. But it was interesting the way that they'd promoted it. Obviously, Mexico has a lot to offer. You know, if you're thinking of Mexico City DF, if you're thinking of Acapulco, if you're thinking of Michoacán with the monarch butterflies, if you're thinking of great diving off Baja California, I mean, you've got everything. So the way they did it, they split it up between regions, making 60-second adverts and promotions, really pushing each one as if they were a destination in their own right. And I saw that as a big difference to the Colombia campaigns, where we try and get everything in one short publicity stunt. And so therefore, coffee seems to be mixed up with colonial villages or colonial cities like Cartagena, which is kind of then mixed up with the ecotourism of the Chocó and the Pacific Coast, which is then mixed up with the modernity of Bogotá or Medellín. It all just seems a bit too rushed. But then again, we've got a long way to go as yet. We're still getting there. Events like the Anato Fair, the big tourism fair here in Bogotá, you know, 15, 20 years ago were unthinkable. When I started attending them 6, 7 years ago, the agents would just sit down opposite you, and I remember well a French travel agent just sitting down and saying, listen, I can't sell Colombia. I'm here because they offered me a trip. I mean, absolutely, you know, demoralizing types of statements. But now we seem to be attracting the right kind of clientele and the right kind of buyers. There are smaller outfits coming over looking to make, you know, typically incentive-led travel plans and very interesting and directed travel plans. If you've got someone who's literary, they'll come to Colombia. If you've got someone looking for ecotourism, we can build something. So very positive this year, the tourism fair. So these are things that we're going to explore with Laura Canspea coming up in the next segments of the show. As always, we hope to hear from some of you out there. You can see our website at www.columbiacallingradio.com. Of course, we're on Twitter at Columbia Calling, and columbiacalling@gmail.com is the email address. So get in touch if you want to say something, you want to have a shout out all over the podcast or over the live broadcast, we'll do it. If you've got direct questions, I'd love to try and be able to answer them or direct them to other experts and then get their answer out on the show for you. So anyway, I'm Richard McCall, this is Columbia Calling, and we'll be right back with Laura Canspea, a tourism expert, talking about the industry here in Colombia.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You are thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
You've got questions about Colombia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Colombia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at colombia.escapeartist.com. Your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's Colombia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and I'm here with Laura Canspea. Believe it or not, with that name, she's actually Colombian, but I've just found out she's of Austrian descent. Her grandfather was an Austrian immigrant to Colombia. But Laura Canspea is an expert in the tourism industry here in Colombia, and so we're going to talk about tourism. We're going to talk about the business of tourism. We're going to talk about the economics of tourism and what's going on in Colombia, because it will not have escaped
you'll notice that Colombia is growing. In every, you know, travel magazine and billboards, Colombia is out there. The Colombia, their only risk is wanting to stay, or magic realism, and all of these campaigns. So I figure it's a good time to talk about tourism because it coincides perfectly with the big tourism fair that's taking place at the moment here in Bogota, in the capital city. Laura, welcome on the show.
Hi, Richard. Thank you for inviting me.
Listen to that. Everyone, she's got perfect English, so no problems there. You're very welcome for being on the show. Laura was educated, for you American listeners out there, at Cornell University. So therefore, you know, we have a very international Austrian descent, Colombian raised, and US educated. Now, we'll start off first by saying we're sitting here in this wonderful little establishment up on the hill in Chapinero called the Taller de Té. What is this Taller de Té? Tell us about your little business.
Well, actually, the idea, I created this tea atelier maybe 3 years ago, and I've been working with tourism since I was 19. And I was like going through a crisis because I have like these double feelings with tourism. So in this crisis, I was thinking like life is too fast, everything is for like you need it now, like people don't take time, and I wanted to promote tranquility and like ease, culture. So I decided to create Taller de Té and also promote tea and the herbal infusions culture.
So in the land of coffee, you have a tea workshop.
Yeah, that's what my dad said. Like, you're crazy. And of course, the reason, like, why tea? Tea is like the most antique infusion in the world. But if you think about Colombia, Colombia is so biodiverse. And we have drunk herbal infusions, like, forever. And it has been so interesting in these three years to have learned about new plants and recovered knowledge from hundreds of years ago by having new plants and promoting their consumption here. So tea is not that far away from all these herbal infusions. And coffee, I like coffee, but for me coffee is too hectic. And coffee is like, you cannot drink coffee all day, or yes, you can, but then you would be in a, like vibrating in a different wave, I don't know. So for me, it's like promoting a lifestyle.
I think that's very good. And so this is, I mean, I wanted to promote this along the way, your Taller de Té. You can look this up as tallerdete.com. That's spelled tallerdete.com. And this is a nice, you know, it's just showing how Bogotá is moving ahead. It's not all coffee shops. We've got tea shops now too, you see. So Laura is the spearhead of the tea movement. And of course, you're right. It's not something that's far-fetched. In Colombia, there are herbal infusions, and the indigenous, the aboriginal people from Colombia, the original settlers, the original people here, drank tea. What is essentially tea? Not the tea from India, but their herbal infusion. So we wish Laura all the best in this venture. 3 years, going strong, and it's in a really nice, tranquil setting, which goes well, of course, with tea. So very well done with that.
Thank you, Richard.
Now to the crux of this little chat that we're having. Now, you have a history in tourism, and Colombia is booming. Tell us a little bit about your background in tourism, Laura.
I started working in tourism when I was 19. I'm 32 now. I think it's important or relevant because if you think about when I was 19, that's 2000. And just, I remember a chart a few years ago that it said that in 1999, only 500,000 people came to Colombia. And of those 500,000 people, most of them were Americans who came for Plan Colombia. So we were receiving no tourism at all. It was not in the imaginary or in the mind of anybody to think that tourism would ever be a possibility in Colombia. But I really liked, I'm not sure what I liked. Mm-hmm. I think I wanted to be a hotel critic or something like that.
Okay.
So that's where I was starting to to think. The other thing is, like, it's not well seen to study anything related to tourism here. It's just, it was not a, like a career option. But because of my passport, my Austrian nationality, I could travel. And so I decided to leave and to study hotel administration, first in Spain, then in the States, and in the meantime work in hotels, restaurants, and travel around. So that was, that took me maybe 8 years.
8 years, but it's a pretty, it's pretty privileged, privileged that, you know, you enjoyed yourself doing
Sure. Well, I actually enjoyed myself, but I worked really hard.
Yeah.
Because I think tourism is something that is 24 hours a day. So, and because I was working and studying and working and studying, I think it was a lot of like stamina and understanding the industry from like the first, like the services, because that's where I was working. Then I came to Colombia for holidays.
Yeah.
I graduated and I came, and I was not planning to stay here because Colombia had no opportunities. This is 2006, so it was already starting to like change the tourism orientation a bit, but I didn't know anything about tourism here or anything at all. I had been 8 years abroad.
Yeah.
So I sent, a friend of mine was working in Pro Export, which is the International Tourism Board for Colombia. But back then, it was just starting to be the International Tourism Board. It's not like it has been like that forever. I think tourism closed, like any focus on tourism closed in 1991, I read somewhere. And then it opened again in 2005, 2006. So the International Board, which is the Exports Board, didn't know anything about tourism. And they got my CV from a friend. And they called me many times because I fell sick by that time, and it took me a while like to answer. And I ended up working in the tourism board, and I was the only person there for many years who had a tourism background.
It's amazing. So, I mean, you basically put tourism back on the government's agenda here in Colombia. I mean, that's
exactly
it.
Exactly.
Very interesting what you said. I'm going to wind back this little chat a little bit. When you said in 1999, I want to focus on this. There were only 500,000 international visitors to Colombia, and most of those were the Plan Colombia. So you're talking about the U.S. government sort of aid package to Colombia. I mean, that's an amazing statistic. That was the only real sort of, let's say, register of foreign visitors to Colombia in 1999. So then in 2006, you're back in. You've been headhunted by Pro Export. You are the person with a tourism background. This is amazing. And you know, this is a macho society. And you're a lady. How did you hammer away and get your message across?
It's so funny because this is a macho society, but tourism is a lady world, I think.
Okay.
Or at least where I've moved in tourism. My boss back then was a woman, a wonderful, like an amazing professional. And, well, none of us, even if I had worked in tourism, I had never worked in a situation like that of Colombia. And it's, just imagine, like having internet, but there's no information in internet or in Google about all the options in Colombia. I had traveled more or less, but I didn't know the country, and I was probably one of the ones who knew the country better from the team. We were only back then like 5 people, and so we had to get to know the country somehow. So she decided that the main objective back then was to create press trips and fam trips. Fam trips with wholesalers in the like certain markets that they decided that were like strategic, and fam trips with like journalists and important media. But it was so funny because, so our dream was to have the New York Times here, and it was impossible, or the Guardian, or like important newspapers. And we later found out, like with time, that whenever we sent a press trip invitation, there was a raffle, like, of people who wanted to come here. So it was very difficult to find, like, people who actually wanted to write about Colombia, because the interesting news from Colombia were kidnappings or drugs or cartel things or... However, tourism was not in the map at all. So that's why that was the main strategy back then. Which now is like, we're receiving so many, press and foreigners, and that it's unimaginable that first it was a struggle.
Yeah, we were talking 7 years later. And we're going to wind up this section. And we're talking to Lara Canspare, who's telling us a bit about her history in the tourism industry and what the tourism industry was like. Back, 1999, 2006, we're talking sort of by generations. We're going to move on into this next segment and discover more about tourism in Colombia and a bit of the history behind it. So this is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. It seems almost silly to ask, but if you're going to be living abroad, why wouldn't you want to learn the language? Do you want to make life more difficult for yourself? If you're going to the time, expense, and risk of living abroad, give yourself the best chance for success by actually being able to communicate with your new neighbors, at least on some level of proficiency. A recent article in Escape from America magazine caught our attention. In it, writer Paul Allen wrote about his experience at a conference in Vienna, attended by folks from all over Europe and the Middle East. Allen was amazed at the level of English skill exhibited by attendees who were using it as their second or even third language. Yes, English is still the language of business, but that sentiment is not going to do you much good when you're trying to buy a bar of soap in Managua. Don't be the ugly American who thinks the rest of the world should bend to your accident of birth. Allen went on to quote a 2005 European Commission study, which reported that the following percent of adults in these countries were able to converse in English. Sweden, 85%, Denmark, 83%, Netherlands, 79%, and Luxembourg, 66%. Add to these amazingly high numbers that over 50% speak English in Finland, Slovenia, Austria, Belgium, and Germany. Kind of makes us look inadequate, huh? A Dutch friend who Alan spoke with told him that she believes that American television had a great influence, since the shows run with Dutch subtitles rather than being dubbed. A last tidbit for you. English is the third most spoken language in the world, after Mandarin Chinese and Spanish. Americans planning on living abroad in a Central American country, take heed. They speak Spanish there. For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
This is Kathleen Petticord and Leif Simon with the Live and Invest Overseas Minute on the Overseas Radio Network. Are you looking to rent overseas? Before you log online, here are some tips that can save you a lot of time and help ensure that you get the best deal possible on your rental wherever in the world you're looking to live.
So finding an apartment to rent overseas should be done at the local level. Looking on the internet, you're going to find English advertisements that are easier to find a rental for you, but those are going to be priced for the foreign market. To get to the local market, you want to get your feet on the ground and take a look.
Exactly. To get a good deal, you've got to shop beyond the internet market. And to do that, you've got to have your feet on the ground, either yours or those of a reliable local contact you trust. And you should enlist the help of an attorney to review the rental contract.
Also, you need to keep in mind that the local contract needs to be in the local language to be legal. So you'll want an English language translation, but you're going to have to sign a local language contract, especially in the Latin American countries.
For more information on making the leap overseas, visit us online at liveandinvestoverseas.com.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. I'm here with Laura Canspare. We're talking tourism in Colombia. Well, we started talking about tea in Colombia. Now we're on tourism. So just if you, in case you've just tuned in, do look up the tallerdete.com. That's her tea shop here in Laura's tea shop here in Bogota. So if you're yearning for some exotic teas here in Bogota, if coffee is too much, you can come up to the tea shop. But Laura is an expert in tourism, and that's what we're here to speak about today. And so, Laura, with all of your knowledge in tourism and your history and your background and all the stuff you've done, and you pretty much explained to us, you helped launch the tourism department of the government here and everything, tell us a bit about what tourism really meant in the past in Colombia. How did tourism work?
Traditionally, Colombia, I think, is a very interesting example where the country has always, or most of the time, always been visited by the same Colombians. Mm-hmm. There's like this memory, like lost memory about how was international tourism before. But I remember someone telling me that when they were planning Cancun, that's in the 1970s, they were thinking whether Cancun should be in Mexico or in Colombia, in Cartagena. Mm-hmm. So that was like the potential. If you think what, like, the, not the ruins, but like the, what we have today that was from before, mm-hmm. In Colombia, it's like San Andres, mm-hmm. or the hotels in Santa Marta, in Belo Horizonte, or the beach hotels in Cartagena, like the old. So everything was like conceived as the traditional tourism, and that's how it was perceived. And at that point, we can talk about national and international tourism as well, because they were all looking for the same. Mm-hmm. Then from then, I would say ending 1980s or beginning 1990s, the country closes to tourism and people stop traveling. But stop traveling means that we stop going 1 hour away from Bogota. Mm-hmm. Still, and it's very, I don't know, strange, but it's a feeling we have. Like a few weeks ago, I went to Villa de Leyva. We went at night. We went out at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just so amazing to be able to travel by road at night. And I cannot conceive it yet. It's like really surprising. So that's something that has changed a lot, but we are not used to it, uh-huh. I think. So for like all those years that Colombia was closed, uh-huh. including even now, there was no travel at all, no national tourism either. And then in, I think it was 2002 or 2003, that the government started promoting internal like tourism, like national tourism, and a concept of caravanas was created. I imagine that you've heard of it, but it's like, okay, so next puente, next bank holiday, we are going to be like guard the caravana of people who want to go to Melgar or to Zona Cafetera.
So it's almost like an escorted caravan,
exactly.
Of cars.
Wow. Yeah, so that were like the ways people started traveling again locally. I never was in a caravan. I've known people who went, but I was living abroad also, mm-hmm. during that time. It was also, if you see it from as an outsider, you don't really want to travel, or at least me, I like to go off the beaten track. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was not off the beaten track.
No.
Plus, it was so, I don't know, I felt that it was like the government allowing it, but at the same time, not really. I know it was a positive intervention, but it was still very awkward. Mm-hmm. With time, the routes started opening and people started traveling again. But I do think that in the mindset of most Colombians, the way of traveling is going to places where, like going to the mall, mm-hmm. but going to all inclusives or going to, and in fact, a few, like, there's not so many statistics on national tourism, which is strange, mm-hmm. because it's the main, is 85% of tourism in Colombia is local. And I think, but recently someone told me 80% of the people in Colombia go to the beach. So, and what do they go, or where to, do they go to the beach to, is usually all-inclusives. And all-inclusives is, fortunately, we don't have like all the all-inclusives you find in Cancun or even in Costa Rica or like in the Caribbean, but there are all like, yeah, all-inclusives and these secure
spot. As a small business owner, and those who know me here and listen, you know, I have a small place in Montfort. It's always interesting. We get, I mean, obviously the majority of my clientele are Colombian, and they always say, you know, they ask the price. What does that include? Of course, because they're you know, they're almost trained to ask it because they're going, you know, used to going to all inclusives, and then what the other main question, of course, because my place is not, I wouldn't say off the beaten track, but there is very little infrastructure as in terms of roads and so on. So everyone always asks about the security. I mean, those are the things. And yeah, so this is, you're sort of suggesting the hangover of the problem years. But very interesting. But we don't have, I mean, there are all inclusives, and you see packets being sold, to, let's say, more to the people from the interior who all want, you know, sun, sand, beach, sea, and they buy these all-inclusives because it's the easiest option. But it's changing, isn't it? I mean, tourism here is changing, I think.
Yeah, it's changing, like, both ways, I say. Like, and I think one thing is all the backpackers who came, like, in the, I don't know, last 10 years, they started opening, like, new destinations, and there's also like the demands of international tourists and the new, like, attempting new projects. And but what has changed that I feel is difficult, because if I think from local, it's like discovering again the country. So that's very, I think about Caño Cristales or Utrilla, like national parks, and gaining again access to those places. But what I feel is anxiety. So it's when we were young and we could travel, because that was until I was maybe 13, 14, you took for granted all those places and that you had them and you would go. And now I feel like everybody wants to go to Caño Cristales, or this rush of getting to know those places, which is good, but at the same time, I don't think there is any infrastructure to get to know all those places. And the other thing that happens is that Colombia is a new destination, so all those travel junkies outside want to come here and take the picture with all these places. So I, what I think is, we didn't have a plan B.
Well, I think it's very
for success.
Yeah, very interesting. You know, what you're getting at is a reclaiming of Colombia by Colombians. And I think it's very important for the, you know, the whole sort of psyche of the country. But also, I'm going to just jump in and say, you're still young, Laura. You know, when you talk about, you're 32 years old, it's not old. And I sit here as a 37-year-old, I can say I'm closer to 40. But it's true about the plan B. It's absolutely true, because what we're seeing now, and what I've been, you know, recognizing in the last few months that I've been spending in my hotel, is that in terms of international tourism, or the travel junkies, or the really experienced travelers, now a lot more are coming, or a lot more came already, and they told their friends, who are perhaps not the most experienced travelers, and Colombia has not been able to, you know, sort of accommodate that level of tourism. You know, it's not quite yet comfortable enough. It's still, the infrastructure is one of the biggest challenges here, and the service industry, which, you know, it's been administering, you know, really just Colombian tourists for let's say a European or a North American who are used to a different standard. Things need to change quite fast, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but I think it's so difficult to to compensate that. And there's like this example in Cartagena gets so crowded in December, and the service is an issue. And there's like, tourism industry is the main employer in Cartagena, and Cartagena has 75% poverty. And you see Argentinians and Spanish and Venezuelans working in hotels and restaurants, like all the high season and even the low season. So for me, it was a surprise, and it's like, what can we do with this? But also, it's like the, I know it's a word you like, the way people are. What's the word for that? The idiosyncrasy.
Yeah, the idiosyncrasy is a word I hate. Like idiosyncrasy, because it's an excuse to behave badly or vulgarity in La Costa. It's because that's the way we are. So that's why we turn up our music the loudest. That's why we park our car on the beach and wash it. That's why we leave the trash. It's nuestra idiosyncrasia.
Exactly, and in the idiosyncrasia from the coast is like no formal jobs. Mm-hmm. Or why do I have to like have a schedule, mm-hmm, or be punctual? Or it's very difficult to change that mindset,
yes,
if it's been there for, I don't know, for hundreds of years. So I think that's an issue, and like, I know there are many things being done to promote, formal employment or service or having better service or working with the people. But at the same time, the industry is growing so fast that people don't take the time to do that, and they just hire all the foreigners who are coming. And I've met so many backpackers who end up working here, gain money, and then continue their road, like in other parts of the world. But then the opportunities for the country are limited, and one of my main criticisms is that I don't see any change in the poverty in the country due to tourism. It's like, I don't really, like, there are very small examples. Well, yeah, it should be like
and tourism is a drip down industry that even the most humble should benefit from. But when you look at Cartagena, everything is contained within that, you know, walled city, and then in the outside of that, it's misery. I mean, really. And then you do see in the morning, if you're up early, you know, the police pushing the vagrants or the beggars out of the city so the tourists don't see them. But we'll come back to this point, and we're touching on very important points now about tourism here in Colombia. We're talking to Laura Canspair. This is Colombia Calling, and I'm Richard McCall. No,
your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable health care, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Searching for freedom? The sustainable community in Chile is found at FreedomOrchard.com. Quiet, peaceful, and pristine are some of Freedom Orchard's outstanding features. Freedom Orchard offers recreational activities, organic farming, and self-sufficiency for water and electricity. Well-known Chile expert, free market economist, and radio host of Red Hot Chile, Dr. John Coben, is heading a team of developers, organic farmers, and seasoned professionals to make Freedom Orchard a reality. FreedomOrchard.com, for when you're serious about your freedom.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back, and the final segment of this show, we're talking about tourism here in Colombia with Laura Canspair. And we've been talking, the last issue that we were just touching on before the break was that she does, you know, Laura very, you know, astutely mentioned that she didn't see that, let's say, tourism is creating a great social transformation here in Colombia. But you know, there are small examples, you know, the small businesses doing the right things, doing everything else. But what can we say is happening? What do we need to do? What does Colombia need to do so that even the most humble people, you know, let's say in Cartagena, which was the cited example, you know, so that they can benefit from tourism?
Well, I think there has to be a conscience, like a collective conscience, and regarding responsible tourism. And it's like we've talked always about sustainable tourism, which is like having a positive impact in environmental and social, like responsibility. But it's like just for what I do. If I have a hotel, I have like all these policies inside my hotel. But what is important is tourism is an interaction industry. And there are so many industries within the industry. How do you ensure that the whole chain is responsible? Mm-hmm. That's, I think, a way of trying to be at least conscious of what's going on. And if you have like that conscience, at least you can do something relevant to create that change. Mm-hmm. Of course, also the public sector is so important, and the government and the universities, like everybody has to have that conscience. So at ProExport, after we started doing the farm trips, like I was going to go crazy if I did only farm trips all my life.
No? Professional life.
Professional. So it was great because I had like all the opportunity to create and to do whatever I wanted. So I started working with or creating sustainable tourism products and like focusing in nature tourism and culture tourism. And I started working with many entrepreneurs, which was also one of my duties, to guide entrepreneurs on how to sell Colombia, how to reach other countries, reach other markets, make a better offer, etc. After I quit, at ProExport to go to India for a while. I have to.
You found yourself.
Yeah, no, before. I think I found myself before, but I had this dream, which was going to India, and it was election trip period, the same as now, so nothing happens in the government.
Yep.
So I decided to quit, go to India, and when I came back, I continued working in tourism, doing like private consultancy, as I do now as well, and a collective of entrepreneurs and people from tourism called me and told me if I wanted to direct their association. They had it to join. They started to join forces when I was in ProExport, and they happened to be my accounts, the accounts I used to manage. So we started talking, and what I realized is that everything they wanted to do was focused in responsible tourism, or was based in responsible tourism practices. So we decided to found ACOTUR, which is Asociación Colombiana de Turismo Responsable. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, today it's 21 members. Mm-hmm. I have to say most of them are foreigners who live in Colombia, who started with this idea many years ago. But it's nice to see that Colombians, a few Colombians have joined and who have also tourism businesses. And what we do is basically promote Colombia as a responsible tourism destination through different activities. So we are trying to get all of the members in the same like certification, or like following sustainable tourism practices. We talk many problems that we confront. One of the main problems today is guides in Colombia, that is so difficult to have guides, because you can have a guide, but he's not a legal guide, and then the law says it has to be legal, but then there's no courses, and then there's this need to create lifestyle, like a job, which is a guide. I mean, it's like a marvelous opportunity for people who have been in the conflict to be part of the tourism system, if you think about it, but there's no clear ways to do it. So the association works to create all those channels to make a better tourism in Colombia.
Very exciting, and very, very exciting indeed. And especially when you address people, let's say ex-combatants, or people who have been involved at some level in the conflict, of course they would be using their knowledge. Let's say if you've got an ex-guerrilla or something, they're going to know the jungle better and then practice. And of course, this is one of the complaints of los reinsertados, the reinserted people back into societies, that they're always put back in doing something that's completely alien to their previous life. I mean, we're not saying they should carry guns or be in the police or anything, but they're always ended up working in bakeries or something else, when really, you know, how about a parks coordinator or a guide or something? So that's really good. This ACOTUR, just remind us of the website for any people out there who want to know which companies are involved in this sustainable, sort of more holistic version of tourism, trying to help implement an altruistic tourism here in Colombia. What is the website for Acotur?
It's Acotur, acotur.co.
.co. So there you go. So no excuses for not looking up and finding responsible tourism operators here in Colombia. And so you are the director of that. And as the director of Acotur, what challenges do you see for Colombia in the future, really? You know, what do you see that we need to be really working towards here?
Well, it's again the thing of conscience, and it's like every year we are receiving more and more visits, and like, yeah, it's great for the tourism businesses because they're moving a lot, but then there's no time. And that links again to my tea shop, I guess, because there's no time for thinking, no time for tourism, no time for creating conscience or responsibility. So that's what I think that could be an obstacle and a challenge in the near future, but very near future.
And if we think about Colombia again as a whole, do you have any figures in the top of your head about how many international tourists are coming to Colombia at the moment or in the last couple of years?
Well, what I've seen is that this year is probably a little bit more than 2 million. Mm-hmm. But I think figures are always...
up for debate.
Yeah, and it depends. Like, if we count how many people are coming from the front, like crossing the borders, or from Venezuela or from Ecuador. And also, there is another thing, is like how many people are coming here to live. Mm-hmm. When we were working in the ProExport, we created a campaign which was called "The Risk Is Wanting to Stay,"
of which I am a result.
Yes, you and so many others. Yeah. And it's not that you're not welcome, but mm-hmm. it's like it's something to think about.
Yeah.
It's like, I think the country has to be clear what is to visit the country and what is to create a new territory for people to migrate due to the financial world crisis,
yeah.
Which is what I think is happening.
A financial world crisis. If we talk about crises, I mean, we look at the crisis in Venezuela and the lack
sure.
of basic foodstuffs, bread, flowers, even toilet paper and things like that. I think that these people crossing the borders to make purchases and then return are sometimes being swept up into the figures. I don't know. I mean, perhaps I'm being too cynical. I don't know. And then my other point on that is the cruise ships. You know, a massive industry. And let's not knock the cruise ships. It's a massive, massive industry. It's a global industry. It represents tourism dollars. It represents the fact that Colombia is back on the map, because for so long people wouldn't even dock the boat in Cartagena because the fear factor was there. But how long and how much does each one of these people that coming on a cruise ship actually spend in Colombia? I mean, that's, and should they be counted as foreign visitors? I mean, I don't know.
I think, no, they are not counted as foreign visitors. They count them sometimes, but usually not. But what I think is like is that there is no return from mm-hmm. that. At the beginning it was, oh, let's bring the cruise ships, and they were telling me, like before ProExport were telling me that 5-6 years ago, when the first cruise ships came, only 30% of the crew went down. Now 80% of the crew goes down, and every time more cruise ships are arriving, and how do you stop that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you control that? There is no plan B again, like... Yeah, now it's like this hub destination, and they're opening new opportunities for cruise ships. They're thinking about cruise ships arriving to Chocó.
In
the Pacific, and it would be like in the near future. So I think, again, we think very small.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't imagine what if it works out.
Yeah.
And the impact of the cruise ships in Colombia is not clear yet, but it's the same impact than other parts in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a decision to make. And that's very relevant also with the figures of how many tourists do we want to bring, and how the government measures quality of tourism, and the quality is measured by how many
mm-hmm.
and not by the quality.
Yeah, Now, as you said, you mentioned earlier on, you quit during election years. That was 4 years ago. We're now in another election year, and I can't not speak about elections, because 2014, in the last 4 years, what can you say that the government of Juan Manuel Santos has done to improve or help for tourism, if anything? I mean, you're the best placed to say this.
Yes. Well, I think it's the strategy has never been clear. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel. Maybe Colombia doesn't have the need to bring people, because they're already coming. So it's again the figures, mm-hmm. but you don't see any clarity on what's the focus. Mm-hmm. And for me, the new campaign, Magical Realism, which I think the campaign has to change. One of the reasons is because I don't want only foreigners living here. But the reality is that it's not clear where are we going. Like, they talk about different experiences, but for me, like, educating people how to travel is one of the main things that I need. Colombia needs, and I don't see it coming, in the near future.
And any of the campaigns and that are going on for the electoral process at the moment, do any of the political parties have a clear outline for tourism? Do they see it as a possible source of income and business?
I think they see it, but internally. I don't think they are going to promote it as one of the main attractives to get elected. Mm-hmm. But they haven't. I always see new tourism processes in regions that are backed by politicians, and that was at my time one of the reasons to quit, because I was seeing too many things politicized and I don't know. There are things everything that has to do with void infrastructure, more cables, more theme parks, more things that are not focused, and yeah. There's some political power there.
Always seems so short term. The promises for to get re-elected, and then maybe a little something. And I'm writing an article at the moment that will come out next month that mentions about Tim Buendía, who was on this show a couple of months ago. Poor guy, Dutchman, who's been running the Gypsy Residence in Aracataca, yes. Gabriel Garcia's his hometown. He's had to shut.
Why?
He's shutting because the political will is not there to try and help. They're not interested. And the only thing he wants is that the town finally gets a water system, so they have running water. And that's the promise they make every single electoral period. That's this time. So as they say, and I've written in the article, cement is poured, plans are made, and then everything is paralyzed. And I see that as well a bit with tourism in general in Colombia. Yeah, lots of plans, lots of grandiose plans, and then perhaps, as soon as they get elected, the next man's problem. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think most of the things have been always done through the private sector also. And is that the synergy between private and public sector? And also, which part of the public sector is more of the private sector is more important, building hotels? So that's something that is also very important to talk about, is the crazy building of hotels in Colombia, in the main cities, because the tax exemption law ends in 2017. So it's there's no tomorrow. Build, and who are you bringing, why, who do we want here, how many,
It almost feels like there's a less of a selective process. It's just build, so that we can show the figures of international investment and what we're doing. I don't know. But Laura, thank you very much for your time. I'm just going to reiterate, we're here in her Taller de Té, it's a little tea shop here up in Chapinero. Look it up, that's TallerDete.com. And also Acotur, the responsible tourism sort of operators, that's acotur.co. Laura, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us.
Thank you, Richard. And I wanted to say that the noise you're hearing in the back is because there is a coffee roast, like a coffee grinding store next to us also. Yeah, so that's
funny. I didn't know that. So right next door, we've got the coffee grinding. Next door, there's a competition, coffee and tea. And they're side by side. Well, I'm Richard McCall. This has been Columbia Calling. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Bye-bye.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.